Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And as always, I have a wonderful guest with something to teach and a life to be looked at as an example of really how to live life beautifully. And my guest today is Mary Schindler, who is the program director of Inside Edge in Irvine, California. And excuse me, I'm going to go, Mary, right to you because I know you have a lot to say about what it was like establishing yourself in this world of business and accomplishment when you started, because you mentioned when you started it wasn't so much a woman's world. So I got really interested right from there. Right. So just tell us about, start wherever you want. You know, well, let me ask you a question. When you were young, what did you think you wanted to do when you were a little girl?
When I was little.
Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you remember wanting to be?
A majorette.
Oh, okay, good.
My dad was in international business, uh-huh. And so out of San Francisco, yes. Shipping to the Far East.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, my world was broad, even as a young
girl. You traveled
girl. We didn't travel, but we had visitors always in the days where they brought gifts.
Yeah. Oh, and you got a baton?
That was Halloween. Uh-huh. However, he was an inspiring shipman. Mm-hmm. And so my world opened there. And after college, I went to Santa Clara University. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I could get a teacher credential or.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided I wanted to go to this school for international business.
Oh, and you had the example of business from your
family.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And although I didn't feel like I would be a great businesswoman, really, it was still young, 18, I didn't, or 22, mm-hmm. I didn't know. However, I went to Thunderbird in Arizona.
Now, Thunderbird is a business school?
It is, for international management, mm-hmm. exactly. And the students that go there do want to work and live overseas, mm-hmm. for their careers. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted. I had no idea what it would be like, if it would work. The admissions officer said, you are welcome to come. We guarantee you nothing.
Now, were you one of the only girls?
Yes.
Oh.
It was small at the time. It was probably 300 or 400 students, and there were 14 women.
My goodness.
Yeah. And
that's so shocking by today's standards.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's what the world of mm-hmm. that was. And so I ended up going to New York City with American Express, mm-hmm. hoping, and I worked there in New York City at their headquarters, hoping to go overseas. But then something happened, and I had met my future husband at Thunderbird, which was not in my plan.
Mm-hmm.
But he went with Kodak International and went overseas to Beirut, Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And we were engaged.
Oh, he went without you.
He did.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a long-distance romance, and then...
That long-distance romance consist of a lot of letter writing?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Lots of letter writing.
Because that was the choice. Right.
And because of phones, right. And all that. There weren't any. So we did marry, and I moved to Beirut. And it then was 17 years of living in 5 different countries, raising a few children, and leading a life that was very, very fascinating. And again, more letters, because I was writing home mm-hmm. all the time.
Do you have all those letters?
I have.
I'm a little ahead of myself here,
I have
I'm just curious.
I have a good number of them.
That's nice.
Yeah, I have the ones that my mom kept that from me, and mm-hmm. postcards and all. And I have love letters from not only my first husband, but my second husband
nice,
as well.
Nice.
So,
was that difficult moving so many times?
Loved it.
Okay, because some people are really meant for that, and it's just an exciting...
It is.
Yes.
You know, what's neat about it is there's a challenge every day. Every day. You don't know if there's going to be a war.
Yeah.
If you have electricity or water.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be food in the market that you can prepare a dinner for? We were in countries that mostly it was easy enough, but we were mostly in third world countries, mm-hmm. but it did work. And I did love the life.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I mean, you look like a woman who's up to challenges and,
yeah.
and what's the word I'm looking for? Resilient and inventive.
Right.
Which explains what you're doing today, by the way.
In a different way, yes.
Yes. Okay, so go ahead about your life and
so I think we were talking earlier about perhaps, I don't know how we got on it, but my first son was born in Beirut, mm-hmm. and we moved to Malaysia after Beirut, and he just was discovered to have a malignant tumor very early, 18 months old, mm-hmm. and so we came back to San Francisco, mm-hmm. and he was operated on, and chemotherapy and radiation, this little baby, and he just could not survive it.
Mm-hmm.
It was very... very difficult. And so at that point, I should have stayed part of me says I should have stayed in the States for a while more, but there was an opportunity.
Do you mean to give yourself a chance to get used to a new reality?
Well, and to grieve, really, with your support group and all. But we were offered a job with Kodak to Jakarta, Indonesia. And I bring that up because I said, I don't care. I was numb. Mm-hmm. And I just, I thinking back, mm-hmm. it might have been easier not to go so quickly. It was about 3 months after.
On the other hand, I must say, I think after a loss that's just so awful, people cannot be held accountable for any decisions they make.
Well, that's a good, I like that.
I have seen that. Yeah. I have seen that. You can't.
No. And that's why I said,
right.
I don't care.
Right. That's
so exactly. We did go, and it actually became a difficult time emotionally. I moved into depression, not deep, but enough.
Oh.
But the joy of this part of this was a cousin of mine came to visit and with a boyfriend. They were traveling around the world, and the boyfriend says, "What's wrong with you?" Just like that. Not immediately. Not the first day. But
not knowing what had happened. Uh-huh.
And so I told him what had happened and where I was. And they said originally they were just going to stay a day or two, do their laundry and leave, because they hadn't heard great things about Jakarta. Mm-hmm. Well, they stayed 3 weeks. Mm. And we didn't stop talking for 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. That is so wonderful.
And he introduced to me ideas about death and reincarnation or life after death.
Is that just because he's that kind of spirit, or he's that experience?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, he's very interested in, very young man at the time, probably 22 years old or something,
so
25.
How did he come to those?
You know, I don't know that, but it was meant to be for me. And my cousin, both of them, they were both doing yoga, eating vegetarian. All of a sudden, in 3 weeks, I had a whole shift in myself, and it was such a healing, wonderful event. And then I grew to enjoy Indonesia, and then we moved on to other places in Southeast Asia. But it was in my life a very significant 3 weeks.
That is really not only interesting but really powerful. And I don't know if this is something that's too complicated for you to talk about here and now. But what did you learn from him about life after death? And
that's right. Well, you know, I was raised in a religion that just said, I think there's heaven and hell, and if you don't get to heaven, you go to hell. Mm-hmm. And you had better be pretty good, you know. Yeah. And so I was pretty rigid. Mm-hmm. And he introduced ideas that I
had. Can you say what they were?
Well, first of all, probably the thing that struck me the most was about his ideas about reincarnation. And the idea that this spirit is living and the spirit is well, and at some point he will decide to reincarnate and come back and live a life.
Well, the spirit itself will decide.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. And I'm saying that because I did a lot of reading about that afterwards. But it gave me a new perspective. It gave me hope. And
the truth is, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yes.
But
as likely to be as not.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just struck a chord. And they started talking about probably metaphysical principles that I hadn't entertained, although I'd studied quite a bit because I went to Catholic University, a lot of philosophy and metaphysics and all theology. So that was a big time in my life. But after 15 years, 17 years, life went on, had two more sons, and lived this incredible life. But then we had a big life change in that my husband and I separated. Mm-hmm. We were living in Dubai at the time. And so big tumult. And I went back to Mom in Marin, and she took us in so gracefully. And
Your sons were young?
Yes, they're pretty young, 11 and 8, so very hard for them. And yet we got a lot of help and support. And a while later, another man came into my life. I didn't expect it. Who also went to Thunderbird, of all things.
Oh,
and it turns out that we met the first week, all three of us, my first husband, second husband, and myself.
Did you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You know, I mean, we had always been friends, so we had always stayed friends. And so we actually reestablished our friendship because we had been friends. And I always used to think, I wish he'd take me out, but he never did.
Yeah.
So we eventually dated and got married, and so life has evolved from then in a different way. So I've been now here back in the States longer than I was overseas.
Uh-huh.
And what this husband has done is open my world more to spirituality.
Uh-huh.
He's always been a seeker.
Mm-hmm.
And just both of us, I want to know how it works.
You know, who does it?
Yeah. And so it's a great journey, and you meet wonderful people like yourself.
Thank you.
And
this is what I want to say. I need a television show because I want people to see your face.
Oh, yeah.
And the way you are smiling at the very thought of change and discovery and challenge.
Right. When I had consciously given up my official religion.
Mm-hmm.
With, I think it was in Dubai at that time, living among many religions and many marvelous people, realizing that all religions are the same. I had a hole in my heart.
Oh.
And I knew it had to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
Just for myself.
We are basically spiritual creatures.
Exactly.
Who need something else.
We do. And so I felt the void. And then my new husband, his name is Dick,
mm-hmm.
Was on that path. And I said, what have you done for your growth
good for you.
For the last 20 years? I haven't done anything.
That's not your ordinary dating question.
No.
That's great.
And he said, what I've done will probably make your teeth drop out. So he gradually told me. And because it's a lot of woo-woo stuff, much of it, that today more people are open to. But
yesterday's
at
woo-woo.
The time, maybe I'll think about it.
Yes.
But again, it's just like...
What was woo-woo about it at the time?
Well, talking to channeled entities, going through whatever was the rage at the time of growth, whether it was Est or other movements like that. And then he eventually found something he was comfortable with and introduced me. And then I said, no, I'm sure that's fine for you, but no. You know, I wouldn't be doing that, which is a long story. And so he said, okay, knowing that full well that I would love this journey and this search. And it's really finding out more about myself. Who am I? Why am I here? One of my fears in life has been death,
mm-hmm.
and so I've had to experience deaths in my life to get over, I think, and I'm not afraid anymore.
Good for you. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, you're wonderful.
And so learning, and about, I really feel that it's very hopeful.
I have a question about when you said, he said, well, that's okay, and you know, you said, oh, well, that's fine for you, but not for, he must have delivered it to you in a very loving and palatable way, so that you could come to it yourself, essentially.
That's right.
He didn't cram it.
Not at all.
Yes.
Not at all. He knew me well enough. Again, we were friends for a long time. That he knew that I would grab on to this, but he gave me the total freedom to choose the best way. And so I did, and have been very happy, and continue to study,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if that's the right word. We seek out, we search, we interview, we talk, we have go to presentations about.
I wonder what, you know, I think somehow for people who are looking, and I'm getting that kind of from your expression even, that when you look and when you seek, the value of it is it's the looking that you find,
mm-hmm.
and the ability to keep doing that. I mean, you don't. Have you arrived? You haven't arrived at some place where you've stopped looking.
No, no. And I believe that the universe is expanding and will continue to expand.
So they say.
Therefore, you know, and the more depth we go into ourselves and others, the more there is to find.
Right.
It's amazing. I haven't found a stop point at our love. At all. It's infinite. It goes on. So it truly has been very satisfying, and that's where the inside edge comes in.
Okay.
Now that we're back, and
Yes. So how did that transition come about?
When we moved to Southern California for business reasons, I really was floundering. I knew I could make the move. I didn't want to. I had moved so many times, but my husband's business network was in Southern California. And so we moved the kids once again, who are now older, and we then found ourselves trying to settle in, and there were many years, actually, where I was still studying and seeking, yet not too satisfied personally with my group, a lady who I was in a book club with suggested I attend the Inside Edge because she thought I was telling her some of the things that were important to me and what I believe. And she had done some studies as well. So I went down and I signed up and became a member of the Inside Edge because of the programs
Tell us what that is.
And
what basis was it founded?
Right. It was actually founded 27 years ago by a lady named Diana Wentworth in the Beverly Hills area. And her goal was to create community of like-minded people and to encourage each member to recognize his or her capacity for accomplishment, to be accountable, and to take action. And she has personified that.
This is a program with your name on it.
Well, she was and is extraordinary. But the heart of the program is the presenters. It met for 25 years once a week for 50 weeks a year.
Now, that is amazing to me right there.
Exactly.
That your capacity here is so huge that you can always find more people to inspire and talk about how to live life beautifully.
Yeah, it was inspiring. And then because of the economy, 2008, and a few things happened, we had to slow down a little bit and conserve a little, so we meet now twice a month instead of four times a month.
But people are willing to come that often.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's a core. There's some that have been there for 25 years, and there are new members that are catching up. But the presenters truly have been the core. But for anybody who's there for more than, say, 8 years or 10 years, it becomes your community.
Uh-huh, yes.
Again, you've gone through a lot together. You've learned a lot together. You are seekers, and you are enjoying seeing each other every couple of weeks with such commonalities, just interesting, happy to be together, and there's a lot of social events together and an auction, and so socially there's a social edge on a Friday night and a book edge and a poetry edge and a woman's edge.
So it's really a self-contained little
community
over there.
Yeah.
So people can join. I mean, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, you should never say obviously, assume nothing. People who are local to the Irvine area are the people who join.
Mostly, yeah. Irvine's in Orange County, and so we have mostly Orange County people. But every once in a while, somebody will show up and say, well, I drove up this morning at 6 a.m. from San Diego.
Oh, wow.
Or we had a woman that drove down from the East Bay twice, like at 3 a.m.
So she drove all night.
Yeah,
yes.
And got herself to the meeting because she was interested in the group. And so, and the speakers, though, our presenters come from anywhere across the country. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I knew one of your speakers, David Mazzappel.
Right.
Who is just wonderful, and his whole philosophy, I mean, he wrote the book Contagious Optimism.
Right.
So,
and
yes.
He did speak.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think it was our founder, Diana, who had brought him in the first place. And then I asked him about future speakers, and he said, well, you have to have Janet Gallen.
Well, thank you very much. But this is just amazing. I mean, this fits so right in with your own capacity for limitlessness.
Right. Yeah.
There's always more.
There is always more. And, you know, we have nanotechnologists come. We have the professors from UCI, University of California, Irvine, they speak. We do have artists, we have producers, we had the producers and directors of Meryl Streep movie recently. That was a fascinating story. We're opening it up a little bit to be not just, say, metaphysical or spiritual,
yes,
because life is so interesting.
Well, you know,
we're broadening it.
Yes, and I feel the same about what happens through love letters.
Yes.
It's kind of anybody who has a story to tell that's worth listening to, and you can learn something from it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you, if you were, now you have a history of love letters.
I do.
Partly because you had no choice.
Right.
And I want to ask you a question about the ones that your mother kept.
Yeah.
So you got to read the letters that you wrote when you were, what, 19? And
well, probably in my mid-20s,
20s?
30s. Yeah.
And you've read them since?
Yeah, I have.
And did you see the same person in them, or can you tell that you've grown remarkably or changed?
Well, it was just a stage of life where I was raising a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I've kind of gotten through that stage.
But you didn't say anything like, oh, my goodness, what was I thinking here? I mean, it was always solidly you.
It was always thrilling.
Yes.
Always thrilling. We did this. We went here. We slept in a cave in Petra. We walked under the cedars of Lebanon in snowshoes.
So you've got a good record of your own. See, that's what letters are. They're your own history documented in your own hand.
Right.
Would you think you'll ever put those into some sort of book for great-grandchildren?
Perhaps. I will keep them.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to do some writing myself.
Good.
Yeah, about...
Because that's quite a legacy.
Yeah.
To know that you've come from a woman like you. That's huge.
Right.
And nice pedigree.
I'm working on how to best do it, because it was so many years of fascinating life. And so I'm working on it.
Good for you. So... if you were to write one right now, and I always think that writing a love letter is not a one-shot deal, it's a way of life. Not that you have to do it every day or every week. It's not an obligation. But it's when you have a positive thought about somebody. Why not just write it, seal it, stamp it, and mail it, and make somebody else's life richer?
Right.
So who would you write to right now?
Well, after telling the story about my life in Jakarta and my cousin that came through, I would, because I don't know where her friend Mike is, I would write a love letter to my cousin Claire, my favorite cousin of 46 cousins, and just thank her for staying, supporting me. And
have you not been in touch with her?
No, I just saw her 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yes,
but she lives in Marin, but she just came down to visit, and I have told her from time to time how important that visit was, of course. And
but you haven't put it in writing yet.
Probably. I'm sure I did, because again, I was away for such a long time. Mm-hmm. But now, even a new perspective, you know, further.
Yes.
With my life perspective.
Those are wonderful love letters. The I want to catch you up.
Right.
With what I'm doing right now. And is that really a love letter? Well, there's a difference.
That's not it isn't. I love her for what she did.
And that sense alone in a letter makes it a love letter.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because it touched me so deeply, and literally it changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gotten there. But they helped. They helped me.
She was the express
train.
Yes.
Exactly. And
yes.
A big surprise.
Yes.
And I love both of them for taking care of me at that time.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Who else in your life would you...
Well, I would definitely write a love letter to my husband, my present husband. And actually, you'd be surprised, but I can write one. Don't think I will, but I could write one to my former husband, who we remain very good friends.
I think those are... gorgeous.
Yes.
I'm all for those. That's one of the things I talk about. Writing letters to people. Because, you know, if you're lucky, what you loved is still true about that person.
Right.
You may have changed, or circumstances may have done something to you.
Right.
But it's nice to let people know that you still recognize what you love.
Yeah, I think we appreciate each other quite a bit.
That's nice.
But my present husband is certainly the love of my life, and I would, I could easily write a beautiful letter to him. He's extraordinary.
That's wonderful. So in writing a letter to him, you're living with him.
Yes.
And how would you deliver it? This is something I like to talk about.
Yeah.
But how do you do this?
Well... That would be fun, actually. I didn't think about putting it in the mail with
a
stamp.
That's what I'm after, yes.
Exactly.
See, I think love letters need to get there on somebody's pile of mail. They need to be delivered as a gift.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Great idea. I could do that easily. I'd be happy to do that, too.
And then when he gets it, you leave the room, right?
Let him read it.
Yes.
Yeah, not be watching over his shoulder.
Exactly. Because love letters are private.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter that you're the one who wrote it.
Yeah.
It's his spirit who's reading it.
That's right.
And you know, when people take in love letters much better in private, I've noticed in movies, and maybe you have too, sometimes you see a movie and somebody's gotten a love letter and they just hold it. They don't do anything until the person in the room with them says, oh, you need some privacy. You have a letter. And they leave. It's so obvious to me.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think, yes.
Yeah. I think what you're doing is fantastic. I can't, Janet, you're speaking tomorrow at the Inside Edge, and I can't wait to hear
what
you're
going to
say. Thank you,
dear. And I'm so glad I got to talk to you before. I got to. You're just an astounding woman. And I'm saying that like I'm surprised,
well,
and I'm not. But I'm surprised at the details. I would have had no idea.
No, exactly.
Thank you so much for doing this with me.
You are so welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Did you, I'm sorry, I wasn't, did you give a website for,
let me do
would
that.
You like to, because people
sure.
might like to,
just
even
see
if
who
they,
we are.
Just even if they
exactly.
can't join, they might, yes.
You can see a lot, actually, on
mm-hmm.
that, who our past speakers have been, who are coming up speakers, and it's www.insideedge.org. It's a nonprofit educational foundation.
INSIDE. I'm sorry, D-G-E. Let's do it over. Wait a second.
All right.
INSIDEEDGE.org. And
yes.
the only reason I do that is because if you're one letter off,
you don't get it.
We don't find
That's
you.
That's right.
Okay. So actually, if people wanted to and they were going to be in the area, they could come as a guest and just pay a fee for a one-time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Very
reasonable.
So you're
all invited.
Full breakfast, 7 o'clock in the morning and on a Wednesday.
Wonderful. Okay. So the world is invited.
Exactly.
And this is a woman who can handle it. Okay.
We're ready for you,
dear. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'm so glad.
What a pleasure.
I just want to say, as I always do, please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion. Mm-hmm. So from me to you, until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Mary Schindler
saying goodbye.